Well, last Sunday, I mentioned in my message that I was concluding our series on why Bethlehem. Initially, I was going to do a message about Hanukkah, but that just didn't seem to be coming together. And I was wrestling with what to preach on with the Hanukkah thing. And then just before I went to bed on Monday night, and I'm not usually this spiritual, just so you know, but I read Matthew 2 and a few times over, and then I went to bed. And Tuesday morning, I woke up between 4 and 4:30 thinking about the passage, and the Spirit of God just sort of went on from there and gave me direction on this message. And I had an outline by lunchtime on Tuesday, and I can tell you, in almost 30 years of preaching, that has never happened. So definitely the Spirit of God wanted me to speak on Matthew 2:13-23. Which is not exactly everyone's favorite passage. We know it deals with Herod and the massacre of the little boys. But let's remember, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So geography, surprisingly, plays a large part in our lives, and as we see in this section. We start off in Bethlehem, then we go to Egypt, later we come back to Judea, the southern province where Jerusalem and Bethlehem are, but we end up in the north, in Nazareth, in the region of Galilee. Now that's a busy 11 verses. So geography is very important here, and as we've been talking about how geography and theology come together in our study on Bethlehem, we're going to learn a few more things about how our new how our own geographical locations and theology, where we live and where we work, come together. So we can learn about how we can grow spiritually through the places God assigns us to live, because the Apostle Paul wrote in Acts 17:26, from one man, he, God, made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now, Paul may have been referring more generically to people groups, but if God determines what people group go where, then obviously he has to direct individuals to go to those places. So I firmly believe in the sovereignty of God, that he places us and directs us specifically to locations to live and work and go to school and so on. As we pick up the narrative of Jesus here in Matthew 2:13, Jesus' early days, the wise men have left, Joseph and Mary and Jesus are living in a house, still in Bethlehem. It could be as many as 2 years have gone by since that night in Bethlehem. But if you ever have thought of this, isn't there something wrong with this picture? I mean, why are they still in Bethlehem? That's not home. Home is Nazareth. They've never gone back home. It seems they've settled in Bethlehem. And that's a danger for all of us as God's people, because as we'll see, Bethlehem reminded Joseph and Mary and all of us not to get too comfortable in our own Bethlehems. I was thinking about this the different places that we've lived and myself, and I've realized that we, Michelle and I, have lived in Westport longer than any other place either of us have ever lived. I grew up in Woodstock, was there till my early 20s, and then I bought a house and moved out of home, bought my own house when I was in my early 20s and single, and was there for a few years. During that time, I met Michelle, we got married, God directed us and led us to move to London, where we were there for 9 years or so, had three children, and then God moved us to come to Westport, and that was over 25 and a half years ago. But in each place that you and I have lived, we have to look at our geography theologically, and when we do, we find that everywhere we go, God has sent us there to accomplish his purpose. The reason God sent Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, not just so he could fulfill prophecy, obviously, but also to provide a place where others would see and hear about Jesus. Joseph and Mary remained in Bethlehem. They didn't go back home to Nazareth. Why did they stay? When Joseph and Mary left Nazareth, Mary and Joseph had not been married yet, and she was expecting. I mean, Mary would have been shunned. She would have been ridiculed, ostracized, all those things. Joseph refused to divorce Mary, implying to the community, oh, he must be the real father then. Otherwise, why wouldn't he divorce her? So he obviously would have been ridiculed, shunned, ostracized, all those things as well. So leaving Nazareth was not a hard thing to do. And so why go back to that? But God's purpose for Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem was finished. And he had to use a hard situation to force them to leave. So Joseph has another dream, vision from God. He's told to escape to Egypt because Herod is out to kill the child. Egypt was a haven for Jews in those days, many who had fled Herod. There was a strong Jewish population in Alexandria. In Egypt, Josephus records that there were a million Jews living in Alexandria in the mid-first century. They even had their own mini-temple there. But the trip to Egypt was at least 100 miles, and if they go to Alexandria, it's another 75 miles. And so most likely the gifts from the wise men were used to finance their trips and meet their needs along the way. Sometimes God has to physically move us to another location because we're too comfortable where we are. And he may have had to use something hard to force us to move. Now God's purpose seems to change. And he had to protect the child from Herod and move them to Egypt. And there's another purpose for that, because Matthew's going to quote Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I call my son, as a fulfillment type, because Jesus also is going to come out of Egypt. What was that? That was an exodus, right? They were exiles. They left. They were exiles in Egypt. God brought them out. Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, were exiles in Egypt. Now God brings them out. All that to help the people of God identify with Jesus. And God sends us wherever it will make us more to be like his son, obviously. And that prophecy fulfillment was intentionally designed to help Israel identify with Jesus, but also for all God's people who find themselves in places of physical or emotional exile to know that God understands what you're going through. Romans 8:28-30 is a go-to verse for when things are going difficult in our life and we're not sure what's going on, but we need anchors. We need anchors to grab hold of when the boat is rocking. Mm-hmm. And so we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Every time we ask God why, we always know the overall answer, or answers. One, whatever God is doing, we know he's making us more like his son. That's one. It's guaranteed. Say, why are you doing this, God? Well, ultimately, to help us become more like his son, Jesus. And secondly, that he wants to bring glory to himself somehow through this situation. So those are two anchors we can always grab onto when we're questioning why. Why have you bring this into my life? Why have you moved me to this place? And it's part of the process. Always, everything God does is all part of the process of making us more like his son, Jesus Christ, and to glorify him and reveal Jesus in the places that he sends us. Each time Joseph was told by God to move, he immediately obeyed. He wasn't told how long it would be, and it probably wasn't long, but each time he obeyed God and was part of God's plan to mature Joseph into being more godly and more holy, and Mary as well. But if you know, when God is doing these things and we go complaining and being upset at God, then we're not going to see his purpose and we're not going to be willing to grow and glorify him. Now, of course, Joseph was told that Herod was out to kill Jesus, but what Joseph was not told was that Herod was going to kill any boy under the age of 2. And had he been told, had he been privy to that information, there's no way he would have left. He would have stayed. He would have helped warn the others and so on. But we live in a sin-filled world. And we have to remember that no matter where we go, there's going to be hardship. Wherever we go, there's going to be hardship. If we played, you know, if we were to play that word association game with Bible places, and I mentioned, you know, Jericho, you'd say the walls of, right, the walls coming down. If I mentioned, I don't know what other place, you know, Egypt, you'd say, you know, the exodus. If I mentioned Babylon, you'd say the exile. If I mentioned Bethlehem, you're most likely going to say the birthplace of Jesus, maybe even the hometown of David. But you're not going to, the first thing that comes to your mind is not the killing of these little boys by Herod. Because we have basically trained ourselves over the years to the memories of locations are usually positive. Doesn't mean there weren't negative things that happened back there, but we have a tendency to just romanticize about how wonderful things were back then, or at least focus on the positive things and not as much on the negative things. And all of our experiences are different. And for Joseph and Mary, Bethlehem was great. It was a place of shelter. For them, it was a place of shelter. God used the census, right, to get them away from the difficult family life back home in Nazareth. Here she gave birth. She made new friends, obviously. She reconnected with family members. Other people who related to David, related to her family line. Here Jesus took his first steps, spoke his first words. Maybe they marked Jesus' height on the doorpost of the home in which they lived. Who knows? And then you got the shepherds, right? The night of his birth, the shepherds, and then a little bit later, the wise men, and so on. Lots of good memories. But they had to leave because of a tragedy that was about to shortly occur, which they didn't know about. They were just told to leave. God spared them from that tragedy. For them, it was a place of shelter. But for others, it was a place of pain. Herod was insanely jealous of any threat to his throne. I mean, in kind of a backdoor way of affirming that Jesus is the Messiah was Herod's seriousness of taking Jesus' claim to be Messiah very seriously. Why would he want to kill Jesus if it wasn't a legitimate threat? Sadly, Herod ordered the deaths of every boy under two. And Bethlehem may have been smaller than Westport, and there may only have been, you know, 10, half a dozen, maybe even fewer. It's hard to say. But to get an idea of the impact that would have made on that community, think about if it was our community. Think about if it was our day today. Those twin boys born to the Blairs, right? A few weeks ago, they'd be gone. Our own grandchild would be gone. Think of that. Think of the impact that would make on our community. Even now, right? People still talk about when we lost four teenagers in that car accident way back in the 70s, I think it was, late 70s, early 80s. Tragic. You know, when it hits a community like that, they never forget, right? Never forget. So a lot of pain happened in that community, even if it was only four or five children. And as we look back at our own places where God has directed us to live, we can see how sometimes God sheltered us from pain and suffering, and other times we experience pain and suffering in those places. So then how do we get through those things? Well, we trust God's plan as we journey to our final forever home. Now, you can tell when I say forever home, I've been watching too many episodes of Property Brothers. I like that show. It's a pretty good show. They're funny guys. They're really committed, and they really care about the people they're helping. And they want, and they use this phrase, forever home, because they want to fix the home up in such a way that these people never leave. That's their best place they've ever lived, and they want to stay there forever. However, that's not reality, is it, right? We're all visitors to this planet. We're all created by God uniquely and wonderfully, and yet we're marred with a sin nature. We are in need, each one of us are in need of having our sins paid for. We'll find that no place, no experience, no person or amount of money can satisfy us here. So we'll never find our forever home here. God has a better place reserved for us in eternity, and we see it modeled through his dealings with Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. Eventually, Joseph receives another dream revelation from God and is told that Herod has died and is now safe to return to Israel. Surely Joseph thought, they would get back at some point, but he never forced God's hand in all this. He waited in God, and God directed him. And while we may look at Joseph and Mary differently because they were Jesus' parents, let's not forget that they were parents. They were simply mom and dad, wanting to raise their child the best way they could to help them, him or her, and they had other children, grow in God. And likewise, each one of us has to trust God's plan in our journeys from location to location in seeking to raise our families in the Lord. We know Joseph and Mary were godly people, and Joseph never speaks a word in Scripture, and yet every time God directs him, he immediately obeys because it's what God wants for his family. You know, what does God want for our family? What does he want for our children, our grandchildren? He wants us to model a godly life and lead them in what God wants for them. Not what we want for them, not necessarily what our culture wants for them. I mean, we live in a culture that models to parents that we should make sure they get the best education so they can get a degree that will enable them to get a good job and make some good money. We live in a culture that encourages us to get our kids involved in everything under the sun so that these experiences might move them forward in athletics, might result in scholarships, whatever, right? All these things. I mean, they're all good. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But is that the best thing for us? Is that the best thing for our kids as we want to raise them in the Lord? What good is it if our children gain the world but lose their souls? And every time Joseph is led to the Lord to follow God's leading, which means leading his family to wherever God directs, he obeys. Notice Joseph's initial move when he left Egypt. Verse 21, so he got up, took the child and his mother, went to the land of Israel, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said to the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Where was he going? He's going back to Judea, to the southern part of Israel. Now I think Joseph, because God didn't tell him to go back to Nazareth yet. But at this point, I think Joseph's thinking, common sense, Jesus, if Jesus is the Messiah, he should be near Jerusalem. He should be where the scholars are. He should be where the access to the temple and all those things are. That's probably what he was thinking, him and Mary were thinking. Why? And what else would they not think that way? And yet that's not the environment God wanted for Jesus at that time. So when he heard Herod's son was reigning in Herod's place, he knew it was still unsafe for his family, and God directed him one more time to go back home to Nazareth, the place they had made no effort to return to. And yet God says, you need to go back home. You need to go back there because it's where I want my son to be raised. Now, obviously to fulfill prophecy, right? Isaiah 9 says that the light will shine from the areas of Zebulun and Naphtali, which are two tribes that settled in Galilee. And Isaiah 11 says that the Messiah will be the branch, the Netzar, right, who grows from the stump of Jesse. And while Nazareth may have been the last place Joseph and Mary wanted to go, they obeyed God because it was the best choice for his family. And those are the hard decisions we have to make sometimes for our own families. So we need to make sure, because it's all part of God's plan, don't despise the Nazareth along the way. Now, Nazareth was a small, unwalled town of very little significance. I mean, an unwalled town or unwalled city says, basically, we're not worth attacking. We're not even worth, you know, protecting ourselves. There's nothing here. Move on. Right? That's kind of the attitude to an unwalled city. But again, that's the world's perspective, right? They measure it by what's there, what they think is of value. I mean, later in John's gospel, when Philip tells Nathanael that he believes he has found the Messiah and that he's from Nazareth, Nathanael's infamous reply was, right, Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, if God has led us at different times in our lives to places of obscurity or places of discomfort, remember, he has a purpose for us there and for our families. And that purpose is always the same, to grow us to become more like his son. So then always pray what's going on in your life. Lord, what's the best way I can help myself and my family grow to be more like Jesus? What's here that will help us do that? You may find God directing you to make difficult and countercultural decisions, but our purpose is to point them to Jesus and show them there's a real forever home being built for us right now by Jesus, according to what he said in John 14. You know, sometimes God directs us to live in one place most of our life. Nothing wrong with that. Other times we're directed to move around a lot. Sometimes that's just the way God directs our lives. Others, you know, they get to spend, half and half here, half there. And we all experience pain in some places. We all experience shelter in some places. And Bethlehem reminds us that every place we go is a place to grow. Right? Every place we go is a place God wants us to grow, to become more like Jesus. He may uproot us out of our comfort zones at times. He may shelter us in Egypt. He may bring us 360 degrees right back to where we started. Why? Well, always because he wants to make us more like Jesus, because there are people there that need to hear about Jesus, and ultimately so that we can bring him glory wherever we are. And godly parents need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading on how and where they can help their kids and grandkids grow in Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, I'm sure most of us have never looked at this passage from the perspective of parenting, but it's right before our eyes. You led Joseph, lead his home, lead his family to where you wanted them to be, whether it was to protect them, whether it was to get them to where they needed to be, even if it wasn't where they wanted to be. It was the best place they needed to be in order to help their family grow in godliness. Father, help us as parents and grandparents, depending on what kind of situation we're in right now, to be sensitive to what you want us to do and where you want us to be. Perhaps this morning, there are people here that are wrestling with some things that have happened to them in the past, and you've given them peace. Perhaps there are people here that are struggling to find out why you have them where you have them right now. Help them to understand they're where they are to grow in Jesus and to help whoever their sphere of influence is to come to know Jesus or grow in Jesus. Father, thank you for Westport and area. Thank you for this place of being a witness for a long period of time. It's a great location, and we just continue to pray for us to maintain that witness to be your people. Pray for families today, Lord. Pray for them to sense your presence and guide them in how and when they need to move on or how they can grow in Jesus as they stay here and seek your will for their lives. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of scripture. Thank you for encouraging us through this travel itinerary of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. In Jesus' name we always pray. Amen.